Well, it's 4 o'clock. Time now for Out of the Box, KKCR's call-in show. And you're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea Kauai Community Radio.
I'm your co-host, Jonathan Jay.
And I'm your co-host, Dave Giroux. And we'll be here for the next 2 hours talking about stuff going around on in the world and around the island and taking calls.
Yeah, we'll be co-hosting you.
So phone lines will be open the whole show, 826-7771. Yeah, I like this stuff there. I'll say mahalo to Dane for a great melodic flow show.
Thank you, Dane.
I don't want to turn this down here. Tasty. Okay, let's see. Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you.
Just like you.
In partnership with, let's see, who is it? Kalaheo Chiropractic, Kauai Concert Association, Malie Foundation, and Kauai's Got Talent. So,
yeah, so look out for that.
Check these out.
Kalaheo Chiropractic and Massage Center. Natural pain relief services to help everyone in your family. Providing gentle chiropractic, electromagnetic cellular therapy, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, and spinal rehabilitation. Auto accident and workman injury cases. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
The Kauai Concert Association proudly presents Canadian acoustic pop duo Dala, Sunday, April 21st, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the KCC Performing Arts Center. That's Canadian acoustic pop duo Dala, Sunday, April 21st, from 3 to 5 p.m. at the KCC Performing Arts Center. More information and tickets available at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org. Announcing the Nale Hiva Hiva E'ono May Day Celebration, Friday, May 3rd, starting at 10 a.m. at the Kauai Beach Resort, where Aloha lives. This year's Malie Foundation Scholarship Fundraiser includes a lay-making workshop, hula lessons, a tropical floral design contest, and music beginning at 6 p.m., by Love Kelly and the Ohana, and featuring the divine divas of Hawaiian music, Kuini. Information and tickets online at maliefoundation.org.
Announcing the second annual Kauai's Got Talent show at Church of the Pacific in Princeville on April 20th. This showcase event provides an opportunity for the varied and wonderfully talented young people on Kauai between ages 5 and 16 to perform not only for prizes but also for the enjoyment of the audience and judges. MC Michelle Rundgren. Important to note, the application deadline is April 13th for the April 20th competition. More information online at Kauai. GotTalent.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
All right. Got all that business out of the way. So, let's see. We don't have a whole lot lined up today. We just got a bunch of news items to talk about here. So if anybody wants to call in at any time and give their 2 cents worth, then that would be fine. So what are you watching in the news here now, Jonathan?
Well, I was seeing recently that Mikhail Gorbachev, you may recall him, the vice premier of the Soviet Union or the
president or prime minister or whatever.
Something, right? I don't know what they call those guys. But
he was one of the good guys, wasn't he?
He kind of was one of the good guys because he seemed like he was willing to go along with the evolution of things rather than make a big mess.
Was that glasnost? Was that his policy?
Yeah, glasnost. Kind of meant openness.
Openness, yeah.
Openness,
right.
Trying to sort of de-Stalinize their political machine.
Right.
It's a worthy endeavor.
Yeah.
But he's back in the news recently saying that environmental degradation threatens the planet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, really, exactly.
coming from somebody like that, it's a good message. But it's easy to see. Just look around you, you know. Even around here, you know, the The fish are gone. The water's polluted. The rain is polluted. Garbage floating through the ocean everywhere.
But it's not all bad news, Dave, because recently they have discovered some more planets.
More planets?
More planets,
yeah. That we can move to when we destroy this one?
Maybe so. Maybe so. They found a host of new planets about 1,200 light years away. And these planets, there's three different kinds of planets.
1,200 light years. Okay, that's fairly close.
In the bigger scheme of things, fairly close. There's three kinds of planets. There's terrestrial planets like our planet and Venus and Mars.
Terrestrial, they have
rocky planets. There's the gas giants like Jupiter and Saturn. And then there's the little teeny tiny snowballs out there like Pluto. And so there's three different kinds of planets.
But that's not a planet. That's been downgraded.
It's a dwarf planet.
Okay.
What kind of planet is it? It's a dwarf planet. And there's lots of them, lots of snowball type planets.
Yeah.
So, and then you have the planets that are in close, like Mercury is in too close. It's too hot. You have planets like Pluto are out too far. They're too cold. Then you got planets like Earth and Mars that are kind of pretty close to just right. They call that the Goldilocks zone.
Is Venus in that zone?
Venus is a little bit too close.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit too close.
And with some global warming, you could...
Global cooling.
Global cooling. You need like a lot of carbon dioxide or something in the atmosphere. Like
space
a mist
mirrors.
Or something like that. Just something to deflect or cool the surface.
Yeah. Something just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Venus is a habitable planet. But they found some Earth-like planets in the Goldilocks zone around these stars 1,200 light years away. So all we have to do is travel for, I think it's like 14 million years, as fast as we can travel, and we'll be there on a one-way trip. So Mikhail Gorbachev, he can chill out, he can chillax, he doesn't have to worry, because we got other planets on the way.
Now, are we going to move to these other planets, or are we going to use them for our resources and bring them back?
Well, unless you and I are planning on living to be 14 million years old or so, I don't think that we're ever going to go there.
But
there's good news there, too, right?
What's that?
About life extension.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we talked about that a couple of months ago, how scientists theorize that within our lifetime, within this generation anyway, the human body can be extended to last over 1,000 years by replacing organs that are damaged by just growing some stem cells, making up a new liver, a new kidney, slip them in there, and the body can last 1,000 years. You know, and that kind of brings up some issues, sociological issues. You know, for one, there's overpopulation already. And if people lived to be 1,000 years old, you know, basically you couldn't have any kids because, you know, it would overrun the planet.
Well, last time I heard somebody talking about his political future lasting for 1,000 years, that didn't turn out very well either.
Who was that, Caesar?
I think that was Mr. Hitler.
Hitler, he wanted to go 1,000 years?
Yeah, he wanted to have a 1,000-year Reich.
Oh, okay.
That didn't sound very good.
But closer to home, there's an effort to send some... established colonies on Mars. And so there's an organization...
I heard about that. They're looking for one-way ticket volunteers.
Yeah, there's an organization, Mars1.com, where they're looking for volunteers to train and to fly to Mars and establish a colony by the year 2023.
That's not so far away.
So what is that? 10 years. Okay, so they're looking for volunteers that want to go on a one-way mission to establish a colony on Mars. So you would just fly in there. There's no round trip on that flight.
So I would say that's not for the youngsters.
Yeah, so looking for four astronauts at first to go. And now they have a ship that they think that will be ready by then that can make the trip in 30 days.
30 days?
To Mars, yeah. Right now, I think one just went there.
It usually takes like 3 years.
6 months. The Curiosity went there. It was 6 months.
Huh.
There's another one that went recently. I think it was a Russian one that went in a couple of months. But they say about 1 month is realistic with this new fusion type of rocket engine.
Huh.
So That's interesting.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah. Now, Stephen Hawking's had an article this week. He's still kicking. And
I don't think he's actually kicking. He makes kick-like gestures with his chin.
Yeah, in his own way.
Yeah, okay.
And also, Nassim Haramein here on the island here has been talking about this for a while, is we need to get off the Earth as quickly as possible. We need to establish colonies on other planets and other solar systems so that we don't get squashed by some big asteroid and become extinct ourselves all in one, you know, fell swoop.
Seems like right now we are our own biggest asteroid, though.
In
some ways.
But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them coming through here these days. Just in the last couple of months, a lot of big meteorites, you know, coming down, like the big one
in Russia.
Chelyabinsk, yeah.
How do you say that?
Chelyabinsk.
Wow, good for you, David.
Yeah, that was actually site of one of the worst nuclear disasters in human history. So there's four, basically. I think Fukushima.
Working backwards from Fukushima.
Fukushima that is in this category now.
Sure. 3 Mile Island, maybe?
No, that wasn't nearly as serious.
Okay, scratch that.
Chernobyl, yeah, that was a pretty serious one. And then there were two near Chelyabinsk, which are pretty obscure names anyway. One, they were putting all their waste, their nuclear waste, into a landfill, just throwing in the ground and burying it.
Genius.
It went critical and exploded and released.
It's a genius idea.
And released almost as much radiation as a Chernobyl accident did.
Huh.
And there was another one. There was a lake. They were putting all their waste in this lake near Chelyabinsk, just putting it all in the water. Mm-hmm. Figuring, you know, as long as there's water over top there, it's safe.
Wait, wait. They're not figuring anything at all.
It was easy. It was nearby.
Yeah.
So they just dumped it in the water.
They just figured they'd do it.
Big drought came up.
Uh-oh.
Dried up the lake.
Oh, no.
Windstorm came up. Distributed
terrible.
All the radioactive materials all throughout the countryside there. So those are like the four worst nuclear disasters in human history. Anyway,
huh?
We're talking about meteorites.
It's a damn shame they just can't figure out the waste problem with nuclear power.
Yeah,
that's the big problem over and over again. That was the problem with Fukushima largely.
Their solution is to just flush it into the ocean. Uh-huh. So they're dumping massive amounts of water in all those reactors. They don't even know where the cores are anymore. They're, you know, down on the ground.
So far down.
And kicking and, you know, going critical. But so they dump water in there, and water all just flows right into the ocean. And, you know, kind of circulates around to Hawaii eventually. So, yeah, I would say the environment is quite degraded on this one. We need some other planets to contaminate.
Shouldn't we also, at the same time, maybe work on our own behavior?
Yeah,
curbing that, it, that is.
Before somebody gives us another planet, I would say, yeah, they would want to check us out, make sure we don't do the same thing over again.
Because, I mean, if you can't handle your planet, why should you be given another one?
That's right.
Did
your mother tell you that?
She's like, look, clean your planet. Clean your planet or you don't have any dinner.
You don't get another one. Okay. That's interesting. Oh, in economic news this week, there was a bunch of stuff going on. The economy is looking kind of tentative here worldwide. Markets are kind of on the downward spiral. Currencies aren't looking too good. Bonds and T-bills and everything like that are going down. So a lot of economists now are predicting a big downturn here worldwide here in the next or even this year, perhaps. And now the gold issue is another thing.
Yeah, let's talk about this little hiccup that we just had.
Yeah, I was kind of watching that here because you know, I'm kind of interested in the gold situation. A lot of people
like shiny things, Dave.
A lot of people are looking to that as a kind of replacement or substitute for fiat currencies, you know, that have no backing whatsoever other than the good faith and...
Well, it's a time-tested, tradition-honored sort of hedge against inflation and instability.
Gold?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, not fiat currency.
No.
Right. And so a lot of people are buying it and expecting that it's going to be used as a currency, and it is. And several states have already made it legal to, you know, do commerce using gold and silver. But, you know, the gold prices dropped a couple of $100s. Actually, they were up to $1,600, dropped almost $1,300, so $300 an ounce just in a couple of days of trading.
Yeah, that was kind of frenzied trading. For gold isn't usually so volatile as that.
No, but it's been going up and up for quite a while, which really means that currencies are going down.
And down.
You know, the metal itself hasn't really changed. But there was a lot of manipulation in the market here, too, because some unknown traders dumped millions of ounces of gold and silver onto the markets in, you know, just a matter of minutes. And so the price dropped dramatically because the supply was so high. And so, you know, some are theorizing that this is because the, you know, the Federal Reserve does not want you to have a substitute for dollars. They want to have the monopoly on the money.
This isn't the Hunt brothers trying to corner the market on precious metals again.
No, actually, I saw a special about that a while back. The Hunt brothers were evidently not trying to corner the market. They were just trying to find a safe hedge for their investments. So they were buying as much as they could. You know, and it was $2, $3 an ounce back then. So you could, you know, a couple of million dollars, you could corner the market on silver. And so they were just buying it up, you know, as a store of value for their money. And but they were arrested by the powers that be, who didn't like to have competition for their monopoly money. And so they threw them in jail, or they arrested them, fined them, took away all their money, basically went bankrupt soon thereafter. But anyway, so it appears that the central banks, the Federal Reserve, are manipulating the gold price to keep people out of that, and to cut out the competition for the U.S. dollar and the euro. And so what happened when the price dropped? Well, the demand skyrocketed. I mean, people just started buying it up as quickly as possible, seeing the low prices, and, hey, here's my opportunity to finally get into gold because it was so expensive before. Now it looks reasonable, and it's bound to come back, and certainly it is. It's back up another $100 and expected to pass its other highs here pretty soon.
Hmm. Can we count on that one, Dave? Is that a solid lead?
Well, I need to disclaim the fact that I'm not a financial analyst, and I don't have any training.
You're no Glenn Beck, is that what you're trying to say?
Glenn Beck, I don't think he's got any training either. You know, there's a lot of people that are more qualified for financial advice than me. But I suspect that it will be going up, and it probably will be skyrocketing here in the next couple of years. So, I mean, it has been, you know, because what? 10 years ago, 12 years ago, gold was $250 an ounce. You know, and then it went up to 1900, back down to 1300. So,
when was it at 19?
It just briefly, about 6 months ago or so.
Because I know it was cruising for 2000, is what the people were saying. So,
yeah, nearly made it once, and it probably will again.
Hmm.
Hey, we got a phone call here. Let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know about the vote for the... By the way, you know, what's the value of rubbing two sticks together and creating fire?
Pretty valuable if you're cold.
You know, when your partner there, he lost that narrow election.
Yeah.
For the KK, the electric company.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been able to vote for you, because I was a renter, and I didn't have the ability, because I wasn't paying, even though I'm theoretically paying for the bills.
Oh, I'm sure you're paying in far more than just in theory.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I am paying for it, but because I'm not the homeowner, the rent, the landlord, I'm just a tenant. I didn't have the power to vote, you know, but... And that seemed to me kind of unfair, but I wish you would have won. That's too bad you didn't.
Oh, well, thank you very kindly on that. Those are very sweet words.
You're back on the program with your partner there. At any rate, have a great day, guys. I always enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it was a strong finish, as they say.
Yeah, anybody wants to come and... you know, and talk up the show, fine with us. We'll get you right on the air. Okay, so, Venezuela. That's the next issue.
Oh, yeah, democracy in Venezuela. Well,
but evidently democracy is not good enough for the U.S. State Department.
Well, you know, if only the U.S. State Department had taken such a stiff line back in 2000 in Florida.
In the U.S. elections.
In the U.S. elections. Then they would have some credibility when they try and extend certain standards to other countries' democratic processes.
Right. So what happened in the election is it was pretty close, I guess.
Yeah, it was like 250,000 votes.
51% to 49%.
Yeah.
Percent.
Which is not extremely close. It's relatively close.
So the winner, Nicolas Maduro.
A former bus driver.
Former bus driver, okay. He was the recommendation of the outgoing, or the one that just died, Chavez, who just died.
Hugo
Chavez, yeah. He wanted Maduro in.
That was his hand-picked successor.
Continue the Bolivarian revolution, which I kind of like what they're doing down there, using the oil revenues for the people and projects.
It's funny. I read an article, I think it was in Forbes magazine, and they said that Hugo Chavez had really screwed up in Venezuela with all his oil revenues, because if he had played his cards right, he could have had stuff like the world's tallest building, the world's longest bridge, all kinds of fancy palaces and stuff. But instead, no, he had subsidized food distribution and health care and all kinds of social spending instead.
He was even subsidizing oil for the U.S. customers.
Yeah.
For low-income U.S. customers.
Yeah, shockingly short-sighted of him.
Yeah.
He could have had the tallest building in the world. He could have had like a 140-story skyscraper.
Yeah, so all those rich oil executives could be sitting up on top of that thing,
right,
looking down at all the little people.
Right, all the little ants.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. I don't know why.
So anyway, the U.S. has challenged the election, and
because the U.S. has no place whatsoever to say stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Because the one that they backed did not win, so they were supporting and inciting riots.
Yeah,
and several people died.
Sure, creating instability.
And now they're afraid that there might be a coup, U.S.-led coup,
sure,
or some sort of insurrection or invasion there. Kind of like what happened, when was it, when Chavez was arrested and spirited off to some Caribbean island. It was about 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
Luckily, the army, backed him and went in and arrested the people who stepped up to say, we're in charge now. And so their own army turned it around, and we had to fly Chavez back to the presidency there.
You know, the U.S. could be such a force of good in the world. I'm just wondering when that's going to happen more consistently.
Let's see. Oh, I was just about to go to the phones there. They didn't wait long enough there. So please call back if you want to get on the air, 826-7771.
There we go. And thank you for calling in. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air.
Okay. Anyways, my first...
I'm going to turn down your radio a little bit there.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Turn your radio down a little tiny bit.
Okay, hold on.
There we go. Yeah, otherwise you get a lot of feedback, and it gives a sort of stadium effect to your voice. Makes it hard to hear.
Anyways, point about the gold thing was, that's fun. It certainly impressed the world market with gold so that it goes down. That's just a great statement on your part. And I will bring up the Bilderberg Group. I'll have a drone flying over me shortly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. It's
they're zeroing in on your phone.
Oh, they're already listening to that. There's no problem with that. We already know that's happening.
Yeah.
But back to Hugo Chavez, and you just said it was a bus driver. Well, it sounds like something so similar to who's this guy. I'm going to select this guy, and it's controlled by somebody obviously other than us.
Yeah.
And I had a whole statement to make, but I spaced out.
Something about Venezuela?
Yeah, well, my first thing was the gold. The price of gold and how it jacked up so fast, so quick. And I bought a necklace in Thailand, about 10 years ago, $700, and then it went up to 16 or 17. I'm just listening to you folks, and it just went down. And now we got supply and demand, so it's going back up. And my bummer is just everything is so controlled.
Right. Now, there's a group called GATA, Gold Antitrust Association. They filed the lawsuit against the, the Commodities
Exchange in Chicago?
No, the regulatory board, Commodities Futures something commission.
So this is another governmental agency?
Yes, government, who's supposed to be overseeing the commodities markets,
right,
but they've been doing
they've
been doing absolutely nothing when, you know, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs dumps all these gold futures onto the market and silver futures and crash the price every time they need to cover their bets.
Right.
And totally illegal. They never deliver any gold. And, you know, it's obviously being used to manipulate the price. And yet, you know, the judge threw it out and said, oh, there's no merit to this whatsoever. They had it all pretty well documented. But
That's just basic. Unfortunately, I'm, 58 years old.
That is unfortunate.
But anyways, like civics in high school and stuff, this is basic civics and stuff and all of that stuff. And you know what? Luckily, I really hate to say this over the air, but luckily we'll be dead before stuff really bad happens. But darn, I see it all coming.
What do you see coming? What do you think's going to happen?
Well, first of all, the GMOs. Oh, my. You know what? I'd have to write this stuff down. I'm not going to be on the air and babble on.
Okay.
I'll write down a list, and I'll be fairly intelligent.
So you don't think that things are going to improve, the economy and the world situation is going to improve before it gets worse?
Well, that's not what I heard.
All right, well, tell you what. Why don't you jot down some brilliant statements and then call us back?
Okay, before I hang up, though. One of my most pertinent statements is, you know, the planet can only handle so many people.
Yeah, and we need the planet,
critical,
but the planet doesn't need us.
Right. Well, yeah.
Do you think we?
I hate to say yeah, duh, but it's kind of my style.
Now, what do you think the carrying capacity of the Earth is or should be? How many people can we support?
You know what? When I was in civics in high school, there were 2.2 billion people on the planet.
Okay.
We're up to 7 right now, roughly. 7 billion people.
Probably.
Yeah, and I
3?
I think we're messing it up already. I like the 3 to 5 billion aspect.
3 to 5? Okay.
Yeah, it's just a shot in the dark, but it makes a lot more sense than 7 billion. And the next most precious thing is obviously going to come water.
Yeah.
It already is, but it'll be even more precious.
Right. It seems to me, I've looked at this carrying capacity thing quite a bit, and it kind of depends on what quality of the environment do you want and what quality of life do you want. I mean, we can support 7 billion people. You know,
or maybe even 10.
Who have very poor quality of life, you know, barely scrounging for water and food.
I hate to interrupt you, but, you know, chemicals that created the quality of life we have now with Anyways, not the herbicides, but the all the fertilizer and all that, they're all petrochemicals.
Right,
Once that stuff runs out, it's, you got to get back to nature kind of a thing.
I think agriculture is going to be the first thing hit. That's going to be one of the critical commodities here when fuel prices get super expensive.
Yeah, it'll affect us even worse.
Yeah.
The gold thing, there's a whole list. And thanks for being Akamai about that.
All right, well, thank you for calling in, Carl. I appreciate your perspective.
I'm back with a list.
All right. Aloha, caller. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air.
Yes, aloha, gentlemen. Is this Dave and Jonathan?
It is.
Great. Did you gentlemen happen to hear the Amy Goodwin's report about the war on whistleblowers by the lovely Obama administration?
You know, I didn't hear that report, but I want to ask you a quick question, and that is, use the adjective lovely.
Yes, excuse me for being facetious.
And every time you call in and use that word lovely, I get confused because it seems like you understand lovely to have a different meaning than I'm familiar with.
I'm being facetious, gentlemen.
Okay. All right. Just checking on that.
Yes.
Checking.
As a not lovely.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'd rather express it that way.
Okay.
Because it's just each day, it just sickens me, the actions of our lovely government, okay? Our disingenuous government, our duplicitous government, our phony government. And under Obama, as in the report today on Democracy Now!, it pointed out that under the Obama administration, there has been 3 times the prosecution of government whistleblowers who are trying to bring a little light to bad practices of our great government. Now, the thing is, you know, I mean, I'm not really a doctrinaire person. I could care less whether a person is a, excuse me, a Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, excuse me, whatever. But the thing is, we no matter what administration, whatever party, excuse me, it seems to me it just gets worse and worse. And then this whole thing that just really made me and totally sick was the fact that we're going
take a breath.
Thank you. I have tremendous compassion for the people who suffer in any context, whether it's Americans or other people.
Sure.
But here we're going on, oh, three people died and hundreds were injured. Well, every day we kill more men, women, and children around the world by our quote-unquote war on terror, by, you know, inadvertent as such, you know, we just characterize them as terrorists. Well, that's just a convenient, you know, category to like lump, you know, people who you know, we could care less about, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it, they're not on their side.
Yeah, see, the whole thing is, so, you know, the report this morning on Democracy Now basically was saying that it's all part of, you know, and it's, this has been true since, of course, under old Harry Truman, on the national security state. So what else is new? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I feel for all who suffer, but the thing is, I just, it just, it makes me literally sick when I hear these talking heads who don't have the intelligence of a number two pencil to go on and on and on and quit, you know, making all these lofty statements and giving their opinions. I mean, it's just, you know, I you know, as I said, I could care less whether a person is conservative or Democrat, but it's just this, the fact that each year it gets worse and worse. The very, very wealthy get more wealthy. The poor people. And I told you this many times, you don't believe it, I know you don't, but I remember in the 50s when one person working can support, in America, can support an entire family.
Yeah, that was the single wage earner.
Exactly. And I mean, yes, you know, America was the big cheeseburger, tofu burger, whatever.
Probably not tofu burger back in the 50s.
Well, whatever. The point is, you know, yeah, we were the big kind. So, yes, I mean, obviously, you know, I used to think as a little kid, gee, America rules the world. I guess that's just the way it is. And things made in Japan, we'd laugh. What a joke. Made in Japan, we look at this crap and like laugh. Excuse my French. We just laugh our heads off. But so the whole thing is, it just bothers me, the duplicity, the phoniness, the crocodile tear aspect of, you know, and then God forbid that Hillary should get in. She's a former Goldwater girl. And I, you know, when women get into power, they make men look like wimps. I mean, she'll make the Iron Lady, she'll make the Iron Lady look like Teflon.
I knew you were going to say Teflon. I was like, what's he going to pick? What's he going to pick?
I was going to say aluminium, as our British friends say, aluminum foil. But the point is, it's like, it's the fact that, you know, then under Bush, of course, baby Bush number two, or Bush number two, you know, when the Defense Department and all these people said, well, we're ahead, so we can't let anybody else ever get ahead of us, and we've got to, like, spend all this money on armaments and killing, and give me a break. I mean, talk about a sick world. I mean, not that any other country, given the power that America has, would not act like America. So I'm not...
You don't think that there's some sort of something exceptional about America?
No, I think it's just human nature, obviously. It's like, you know, as talking about financial things, the first Baron de Rothschild said, the time to buy is when the blood is running in the streets. And, of course, all these clowns who manipulate political, economic situations, so there will be wars, so they can make a bunch of bucks. It's like under the first the Rothschild, Baron de Rothschild, he sent his agents to say, oh, we lost against Napoleon, so of course the English stocks fell, and said he just like cleaned all up and bought all the English stocks, and then when the truth came out, no, they actually won, so then he made like a mint, and that's how it all, these machinations started. But I mean, I just feel for the average poor schmuck average citizen who's struggling to, you know, put food on the table and pay.
Or put food on their family, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, the point is, here we are, we have some of the lowest property taxes in America, yet a crummy tract house is like $600,000. I tell people that, I tell them, it's not so much the houses, it's the land. So the thing is, so here you got this super expensive housing, and then the mayor, when I ask him all the time, well, how come you don't, in these zoning laws, you sell out the local brothers who've been here for countless generations, you've got all these rich people come in, and then the local people who've been here for all these years, they're priced out of their own homes. And I don't like that. I saw it happen to California. And I mean, they changed the zoning laws. When I was born in 46, there was 3 million. Now there's something like 44 million in California. I mean, why can't they just stand up for the local people, whether it's California or Hawaii or wherever? I hate to see, you know, the poor people, and now we're including the middle class.
Yeah, because the middle class is shrinking.
Poor, yeah.
Yeah.
All these things, I mean, they shouldn't really bother me, but they do.
Well, tell you what, caller, why don't you take a big breath, kind of count up to three.
Thank you.
Go for a zen moment there, because you unloaded a bunch there.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to raise some of these issues, and thank you, gentlemen, for listening to my concerns.
Well, and then when you find that nirvana moment, give us a call back and share it with us, okay?
Okay, well, thanks so much for having this this chance for opening dialogue on our lovely aisle.
Oh, now, when you say lovely aisle, that time you actually mean lovely, don't you?
Of course.
There we go. Okay. See, there Aloha. We go. Aloha.
Aloha.
Get another caller standing by.
Thank you for being patient.
Is this me?
Aloha.
Yes,
it's me. Me,
it's
you're
me,
on the air.
I'm on. Okay, just listen to that caller, and I had to put my phone down because I listen to too much, my simple brain to absorb, but being Japan and stuff, that was a Marshall Plan, and that relates back to, did we really go to war against the Nazis, or was that capitalism to create what's been created?
Well, and then my big
Japan,
question...
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
Made in Japan and made in Germany, all cool stuff. And now it's made in China, now we're going, well, crap, it's made in China, but that's because it took jobs away from, you know, the divided states of America.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, that's my favorite line. Look at it. We can't even pass a bill in the Congress.
Well, that's the function
that's
of dysfunction.
I'll call back later.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Sure. You know, I kind of wonder about World War II. I wonder, did it really ever end? That's my big question.
Well, we still occupy Germany and Japan.
Uh-huh, and South Korea.
Well, that wasn't World War II, though.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? It was because...
kind of a lingering conflict.
Well, Korea was a former colony of Japan. They invaded Korea in 1910, and they occupied it until 1945. So that was 35 years of Japanese occupation of Korea.
Well, there's no money in ending wars. I mean, the money comes, I mean, right now, look at Korea. I mean, we're sending in missile batteries and all kinds of weapons and, you know, stealth bombers and everything. I mean, that's good for business, you know. So it seems like when they stoke those fears and those flames, somebody makes a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at it on the map, like the big arrows, you know, of U.S. force and power projection going over the Pacific Ocean, pressing into the east, these are the same arrows that have been pushing to the west of us, I guess, since World War II. This is like basically World War II. It has never ended. And I just wonder if anyone else has ever thought about that perspective before.
Well, the same can probably be said for the Cold War, you know, against Russia. It never really ended. You know, Russia collapsed to some extent, and they're
but
back.
We never stopped.
We never stopped.
No, we never stopped.
We continue to encircle them with bases.
See,
and,
yeah, that's the stick-to-itiveness of America's Cold War policy. Let's see what the next caller's got to say about that.
Yeah, am I?
You're on the air, Aloha caller.
Aloha. What an astute observation. You know, I just got finished reading the biography of Admiral Nimitz, and you are so correct. I think we still got the hangover. You know. I don't think we ever got over World War II, really. And we're seeing the last of that generation now pass away.
Yeah, but the generations have come in to take up their place and take up their arms and take up their the vector of the objective.
Yeah, and I can see why they felt that way. You know, the losses were so horrific, and this includes Russia, America,
sure.
You know, Europe, all the Europeans.
What did it say?
Overall.
30, somewhere between 30 and 50 million people
dead people. That's staggering.
Unbelievable, and the genocide that took place. People, I mean, it was so horrific that everybody just became so paranoid. I think after that we're still living in the throes of that, and
I think so.
I don't know how we get over it.
I don't know. I mean, take a look at the state of Israel. It wouldn't exist if not for World War II and the Germans and stuff. So, and here they are struggling.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, the map's redrawn after World War II, and now they're kind of coming back to equilibrium. We've got the Balkans, and I mean, all those lands are now being, all those nations that were real nations are not coming, you know, to their own sovereignty. But I just think that, and I don't know when it's going to end. You know, maybe with the passing of the last of that generation, we may see daylight. But I really don't know.
Well, maybe.
Anyway,
great
show, guys.
Oh well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Dave.
All right, thanks.
That's okay. Appreciate when callers call in and have observations to share with us.
Okay. You would think that with a new generation coming in, they don't remember what even started. It's kind of like, you know, they inherited a war, but they don't even know why they're fighting, you know?
Yeah, but that's the world that we live in.
Right, because, I mean, it's not the U.S., in my estimation, in my opinion, U.S. military does not work for the U.S. people, or even the U.S. government, for that matter. It works for a shadowy cabal of rich financiers around the world.
Or a consortium of military-industrial contractors.
Right.
Who have products they want to sell. There's nothing
Absolutely.
Too mysterious or even hidden about that. That's a pretty
right.
straightforward proposition.
Well, it was hidden before, but now it's out in the open. And
yeah, it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry.
Still moving along, though. Yeah. You know, maybe it's going to take an economic collapse of the U.S. If the dollar collapses and the U.S. economy collapses, then we can't afford that kind of, you know, what, 1,000 bases around the world in 170 countries. We won't be able to afford that anymore.
Hmm. Let's see what this caller who's calling in has to say. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hey, just throwing some more stones out. But Dwight D. Eisenhower, the head supreme commander of the Allied forces.
In Europe.
He came, went, yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Sure.
In Europe. Not, well, Allied forces, what, were the Western forces? Anyways, never mind. That's irrelevant.
Allied, yeah.
But he said one of his points was, after he became president, be very afraid of the military-industrial complex, because we will create war. They will create wars for the military-industrial complex. Do we really need F-22s?
Oh yeah,
do we
dozens.
Really need $5 billion planes, or
that you can't fly in the rain.
That's my point. I'm done. Bye.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'll discuss with you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, go ahead. There's nobody else.
Eisenhower, our president at that time, said that because he was the supreme Allied commander of Europe, and he said we should be afraid of the military-industrial complex. When he became president, he was probably the last guy that wasn't a puppet.
Yeah. Now here's a quote then from the Italian Supreme Court president. He says that
is this recent?
What year?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
He says the Bilderbergers are responsible for terrorist attacks in Europe by conspiring with far-right terrorist groups to incite fear in the populace and to where they demand more security from their governments.
Of course.
Okay, so he's saying the Bilderbergers. Now, this is the shadowy cabal that I was talking about, the rich financiers
exactly.
of the world. You know?
We just put a name to it, bro. I don't even know your name. I listen to your words. I don't listen to your name. But, you know, it's a shadowy thing that basically controls the world.
Right. I mean, do you believe that?
Oh, wholeheartedly.
Okay. You kind of had a little cynical tone there. I thought maybe you were...
calling in to be sarcastic like the last guy? Actually,
yeah. The lovely, lovely cabal.
It's joyous and it's wonderful. I've been here for 40 years, but anyway.
The lovely, right. lovely
I
cabal.
I like the guy's style. The last guy that was on, I like
right.
his style.
Well,
yeah, I got a lot of good things to say.
I
love his, you know, sarcasm is great.
I reported on a poll that was done in just last month that asked the question, see if I can get my hands on him.
Basically, do you believe there's a secret cabal?
Wait, I gotta turn my truck off now.
Yeah, is there?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, asked if there. Okay, 28% or no, 28% of Americans believe that a secretive power elite with a globalist agenda. Is conspiring to eventually rule the world through an authoritarian world government or new world order. 28% of Americans believe that now. So,
okay.
I mean, when I say it, I get a lot of, you know, rolling of the eyes and stuff like that, but I think that number is on the increase here.
And, well, it's, you know what? Anybody with a brain, I'm going to get shot down now. But if you really look at the logic of it all, and it's really basic logic, why does this stuff happen? And I won't even bring up Boston.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a whole other conversation. Here.
Yeah, we're going to have that here in a few minutes, son. So.
Oh, good.
All right,
I got to drive down the road. I'll come back.
All right, well, thanks for calling in. Drive safe, caller.
All right, Brian, no worries.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Well, aloha, you guys.
Aloha.
I just had a quick comment. It's something that's always struck me about when people talk about big government, and you were bringing up the military spending, et cetera.
Yeah.
And if you, I think that if you went and you traced how many people really, you know, that the size of the government, if you look at that side of the government, is huge.
Big.
But that's the side of the government that is they refuse to cut.
Yeah, can't cut there. Oh, no, can't cut there. That'll leave us exposed.
Obama's new budget.
I'm also talking about, like, government employment, and they keep talking about removing government employees, but there's, right now, starting back when Rumsfeld first came in with the first Bush.
I love that. I love his name. Just the name alone, Rumsfeld.
But Rumsfeld, when he came in, I remember distinctly because I was working with the federal government at the time, and his staff, did not like him. The bureaucrats did not like him. So he went out and he hired contractors, and that was the beginning of creation of the hollow government.
Sure. Well, yeah, they push forward on that a lot.
We don't really have federal employees like we did in the past in the 50s, 60s, et cetera.
Oh, no.
So when they talk about removing the federal employees, that's nonsense. What you really need to remove are the contractors.
Sure.
And that's the part that's sacrosanct and will never get touched because of the monetary aspect, and that's how the money is all being funneled. And it's not just the military. It's the entire thing.
Yeah, well, that's private money now.
Well, 25% of the military budget is stolen every year, is basically skimmed off the top, and there's no accounting whatsoever. It does not go toward...
Are you talking about the black budget, or are you talking about something else?
No, there are several, in my viewpoint, and from my research, there are several U.S. agencies that are just slush funds. You know, people steal from them, like the HUD, Housing and Urban Development, does not build many houses at all. That money is stolen. The military budget, 25% of that is stolen, and I've seen accountings of that. You know, so that's why they get the money, is because somebody's benefiting from it.
One of the things that really bothers me is I have a scientific and technical background, and in the past, agencies like NASA, places like that, our public monies were used to develop technology, which then was transferred in the public sector and made available to, you know, competition for businesses and things like that. And with the change in the way that money is being spent, most of the spending on technology development and scientific investigation, et cetera, has been moved into what we used to call spookland. And in spookland, they don't have to publish, they don't have to vet their results to anybody else, and it was proprietary and belongs to the company who got the contract.
Woo-hoo!
So my money has been taken away, you know, my tax dollars.
And privatized.
And the development that's being funded by the federal government in technology is really, in actuality, being taken out of the marketplace. because
it's being sequestered.
It's being unduly influenced, shall we say, by where, you know, by having it hiding in Spookland. And I find that to be just as troubling as all the rest of it. So anyhow, I'm going to go. Thanks for the show. I really appreciate it, you guys.
Sure. Thank you very much for calling in, caller.
Obama's new budget here now has cuts in Social Security and Medicaid.
Which are not part of the federal budget.
And no cuts to the military. So, you know, he's cutting programs that people don't like, you know.
Which people?
People that like military money, military spending.
Those people.
They don't want to see their program cut, but, you know, cut social spending. You know, that's a big thing. Make the people hungry and desperate, and they'll do what you want.
We've got a couple calls calling in, standing by. Let's just take a moment and get you guys on. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it?
Good. Turn your radio down.
Ashley Miguel had a good statement, and my big problem is, what does a private in the Army, boots on the ground, make a year? 20? Maybe 20, 30 tops. Well, I have friends that work for can't say it, but they're getting $120K a year.
That's a pretty good deal.
For serving food to the military, the guys in boots. Thank God nobody knows who I am.
Well, that's one way to.
I know that for a fact.
Well, that's what the previous caller was calling about, with the privatization of all different aspects of the federal government.
Well, it's just amazing that you know what, and then you call boots on the ground. Here's these guys losing legs and messed up, and government's supposed to be, but how can we see all these ads or specials on TV about our vets are getting messed up?
Yeah, no kidding. And that the services aren't there for them.
And yet somebody that serves food to the men in boots gets $120K a year.
Yeah, I would say, I'll go way out on a limb, and I would say that doesn't sound right to me.
Well, it's kind of basic logic.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, caller.
It makes no sense, but it makes sense about what we were talking about.
It makes no sense, but it makes a lot of dollars.
Right. Well, it's basic logic. You want money, you get money, and you know, like I said, the last president was a puppet. Yeah, that's questionable. Every president for the last 35 years has been a puppet.
35 years. Where does that bring us to?
Is that Reagan?
Reagan, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Actually, I don't think Reagan was a puppet.
Ford.
I'm just saying, there. You know, all these presidents
Carter.
Nowadays, they're just puppets. And we thought Barack Obama would be this great, enlightening thing, and it turns out he's just a puppet. But the military-industrial complex and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
I have drones flying over me.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have made a big dent in that if that was his objective.
Well, that's why I voted for the guy. It's supposed to be all this change, and here we go. And I'll wait for you guys to bring up the Boston thing.
All right, well, thanks for calling in, caller.
That's going to create another war. That's all it is.
Right.
Bye.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Thanks. Relative to the comment regarding the amount of money paid for boots on the ground versus contractors, most Americans, I don't think, realize that the majority of boots on the ground, whether they're regular U.S. Army or private contractors, the majority were private contractors, and they did make $120, $160. You know, they're the guys walking around with these small automatic machine guns protecting the big kind in Iraq and Afghanistan,
yeah, security
especially
details.
Iraq.
Sure.
And the thing that concerns me is that the day before 9/11, namely 9/10, Mr. Rumsfeld said, we can't find $3 trillion from the defense budget. Well, the next day, of course, that was a moot point. So, they're attacking us. So that subject never came up at all.
Well, now here's another subject that hasn't come up yet, and I'm hoping that it will. And that is, did you go away and grab your moment of Zen and then come back? And you tell us about your moment of Zen. That's what I want to...
Yes. In fact, for the last year, I've been studying Tai Chi.
Uh-huh.
The thing I find interesting is, in terms of, regardless of the different kinds of disciplines, physical disciplines, one of the most important things is when one inhales, one should pause. And then when one exhales, one should pause, because at these two moments, these are the only real moments of peace. And, of course, if you don't ever continue that process, then that's the big pause, right? That's death. But the point is, I have found that discipline to be quite, and I would, you know, I'm looking for, you know, a Tai Chi group to join. And I don't know, I've been, for the last 20-some years, I've been in love with the Eastern arts. I think, you know, in terms of medicine and nutrition, I've turned to, of course, the Chinese. They've only been around for 5,000 years.
Yeah, just five, four,
I guess,
or
they
five.
Don't know anything.
No, not yet, but they're working on it.
I know. Well, and then in Japan. And the thing, you know, regarding the gentleman's comment or the lady's comment regarding Mr. Reagan, I remember Mr. Reagan came in and he said, well, you know, that most of the pollution, something like 94% of the pollution, is caused by trees.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, the quotes from our enlightened
man.
Presidents will you
Very
know, could fill many, many, many volumes. But the thing is, I remember when his budget chief, Mr. Stockman, pointed out that this is insane, and you know, the whole budget program, because he said, listen, what this is going to produce, and it has produced. That's when the inflation. That's when the U.S. General, you know, national debt, the overall debt, just zoomed out of control. And all the machinations after that point, all the consequences after that point, we've been suffering from. So, of course, they didn't pay attention to Mr. Stockman, because each year the Congress, in their wisdom, you know, continues their wisdom.
And this is wisdom like lovely, right?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Man, I'm glad you're
I'm
back.
Getting on to you. That means not
the,
wisdom.
The thing is, so, yeah, I just, you know, and this doesn't include the fact that at least under Mr. Reagan, when the savings and loan debacle happened, at least there were they called a bunch of the clowns onto the carpet, and a lot of guys went to the slammer for a few years. But under Mr. Bush, number two, and under Mr. Obama, there has not been hardly any pursuing of the folks who are too big to fail. Of course, we're small fry, so we can fail.
We're not too small to fail.
Pardon?
We're not too small to fail. We have
millions
of small failures.
We can't fail all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Look what's been happening in Japan in the last 20 years. Even though there's been 0% interest rate for 20 years, no growth in the economy. And so recently under Prime Minister Abe, whatever, the thing is, now they started to say, well, we've got to let, you know, the yen increase in value, just as most industrialized nations have letting their currencies appreciate, or depreciate in value, so they can sell more widgets to the folk. And so, this is true. All the major currencies of all the major nations, maybe not Germany so far, but at least, you know, England, France, America, Britain, have let their currencies depreciate so they can sell more stuff. And the bottom line is that, you know, we're just being taken for a ride. And I think it's, in this whole attack on Social Security, Social Security is fully funded for 20 years, and then...
Well, it's also not part of the federal debt.
That's right, and the whole thing is, you know, I mean, the cost of living, to me, it works out an extra 20 cents every week. You know what I mean? Well, gee, don't spend it on one place, dude. You know what I mean? You know, so, I mean, my whole thrust has been to, like, to just put all my money into health and to... spend less and less, and I'm going to congratulate you on your election, sir.
Oh, thank you,
Mr. J.
Thank you.
So
very
I hope
much.
Some sanity can be introduced into our the running of the aisle as such, and all the basic services.
Well, unfortunately, he didn't win, but we haven't really called. You want to wrap this up?
Thank you for listening to my concerns. Bye bye.
You know, we have some of the nicest callers, Dave.
Really appreciate you letting me.
Oh wait, there, you're back.
Oh, I'm back.
You're back.
Okay, well, anyway.
No, wait. Sorry.
I'm not back? Okay.
I had another call there. I think I lost him. Anyway, it's 5 o'clock, and I need to tell you that you're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio. And this is Out of the Box. This program is brought to you by listeners like you in partnership with the following underwriters.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural, biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina, Hawaii lifestyle.
This year, more than 1 billion people around the globe will participate in Earth Day 2013 on April 22nd. People of all nationalities and backgrounds will voice their appreciation for the planet and demand its protection. Ho'oulu Wehi, the Sustainable Living Institute of Kauai at KCC and ASUH, are sponsoring an Earth Day celebration on Monday, April 22nd, 2013, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at KCC. This celebration will include sustainability and health education, cultural demonstrations and performances, musical entertainment, art contests, and food and craft. More information online at ho'uluwehi.blogspot.com.
And mahalo to those folks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Okay, it's 5 o'clock. We've got about an hour left in the show and got a couple of phone lines lit up here, so let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
On the air.
You are on the air.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us again. Just wanted to comment on some of the things that have been said today, last 45 minutes or so. That lady that called and said she was with a technical background and happened to work for government agencies.
Sure, she worked with NASA, she said.
Yeah, she mentioned a really interesting term, the spookification, I guess, is I think what she said.
Spookland.
Yes, well, I have to take a little bit of a different slant at that. There happens to be a very well put together program at the federal level across all DOD and Department of Energy and Homeland Security and Department of Health that's called the Small Business Innovative Research Program, SBIR. And it is written over the last, I'm sure, maybe 25 years, where 10% of the research and development budget has to be allocated to small businesses. 10% of all the new technology development in the Department of Health, Department of Energy, Department of Defense, some of the spook land places as well, is funded to small businesses. And it is a set aside specifically for small businesses. And out of that program, lots of fantastic technology gets developed that is passed into business because it starts a small business to begin with. And the small businesses that use this money, some of them use it effectively, some of them do not use it effectively, generate product and employ people, and they bring a lot to even our small little white economy. So I take pause with what she said.
Do you take it like a 10% pause of what she said? Because where I come from, 10% take away 100% leaves 90% from what she was talking about and 10% what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, but it's a guaranteed 10% that wouldn't be allocated to small businesses otherwise.
Hmm. All right.
So, what I'm trying to say is as these patents that get developed and this intellectual property that gets developed is protected and given to these small companies that do the development. And
10%.
Yes, 10%. Well, that's not saying that there isn't other money given to other small businesses. I'm just saying that there's a minimum of 10%.
All right, well, so, thank you for
what's happening
that up.
Is that these small businesses are creating new technology that is being used very effectively. And if you want some great examples of it, the Department of Energy has sponsored the improvement of solar panels for the last 30 years. The majority of the breakthroughs in solar panel technology have been done by small businesses through this program. So we're not wasting all of our money here.
Well, we're not wasting 10%.
At least 10%. There's got to be a lot of other good programs as well.
Okay. All right, well thanks for calling in and pointing that out.
And I think people need to realize that it's not
It's not 100% bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It takes a lot of money to run a large company or a large country, right? From the roads to the welfare programs to
the bombs and the military industrial defense complex.
Yeah, that takes way too much. I'm not disagreeing with you on that at all. But if you look at other countries, right? Very nice countries that seem to are very competitive in the world markets, like Denmark, Finland, Sweden, you name them. They spend somewhere between, I just want to say that their personal tax rate is somewhere between 50% and 70%.
Yeah, it's a lot higher than in America.
On average, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have not been paying that for the last 25 years. We've been paying somewhere between 25% and 35%.
Yeah, roughly.
So the pipers do, you got to pay for all that back infrastructure and all the things you've been neglecting the last 25 years. So
right.
And gripe and moan about their tax rates being too high, and they don't have money for this, they don't have money for that. Go live in some third world country where you don't have a nice road and you don't have all these other amenities set up for you that we haven't been paying for in the last couple of years.
You raise a good point, caller. Thank you for calling in. We got a couple of callers standing by. Do you want to wrap it up with a closing comment?
I think that's it. I think got my yayas out. You guys keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Hello, our caller. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on the lady caller a little bit ago. She was bringing up great points, and some other great points have been brought up. It made me think that it would be great to ask all of our federal representatives, like Tulsi Gabbard and Colleen Hanabusa and Brian Schatz, to maybe come and have...
And there's one more.
Well,
Maisie Hirono.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, Maisie.
Can't forget Maisie.
Yes, we can't forget Maisie. No, sorry, thank you. If we could get them to come and we could voice these concerns to them because they're the ones in Washington, and we could ask them, what are we going to do here, folks? What's your plan? Can we get a plan going? I don't know if we could, but... I think it's really important because I think, that we're definitely, it looks like a slow slide into fascism. And that was my comment.
Hmm.
And thank you guys for your show and all of the facts you bring. And I mean, our military budget takes 67%. That's huge.
Yeah, but some people think it's not big enough. That's why they want to expand, for example, the drone program.
Well, I was very heartened to hear what happened on Democracy Now! Yesterday with that task force on torture.
Oh, uh-huh.
I was like, oh, my God, that's the first enlightened thing I've heard out of Washington for a long time. And especially poignantly because of who was saying it.
Yeah, that was Asa Hutchinson.
Yes, exactly. And, that gave me hope. And so that's why I was like, I would love it if all of these callers who have all of these really great things to say, if we could all be in a room with our elected representatives and have a chat with them.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe we can get on that.
So you knew that name? You had that memorized there, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. Asa Hutchinson. He was the former Undersecretary of Homeland Defense under the Bush administration.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was. And then along with him, they had on the CIA interrogator that spoke about how you didn't get any good intelligence out of it anyway.
Out of torture?
Yeah.
Yeah, because people will just say anything to have you stop to torturing them.
Yeah. So, thank you for your show, you guys.
All right, well, thank you, caller. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Aloha.
We have another caller who's been standing patiently by. Aloha, you're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box, caller. Are you there? All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Aloha, caller. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hey, it's that lady again.
Oh, yes.
The NASA lady.
The spookification lady.
I wanted to respond to the man's comment. He's perfectly right. There is a small business resurgence, SBIR it's called, and that is investment that's taken from almost like a tax that is applied to money which is specifically given for research and development within the federal government.
Well, I like what he was saying, that you weren't 100% wrong. You're only 10% wrong.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. In any case, what kind of is important, the point that a lot of this money has been moved to design and development of things that require technological advances, and so it's been moved out of the R&D classification. So the actual amount, sorry, I just ran up the stairs, the actual amount of money that's being invested in R&D and the government has gone down. And as a consequence, so has the small business program, the amount has gone down. So that was my point. It's just the money is being moved around.
So it's like a shell game.
Yes.
Where's the P?
Yeah, follow the money. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, caller. We have another caller who's been standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Is this me?
This is you.
I just got a quick, just sort of kind of popped in. I was in my truck and I heard you guys talking. And it seems like you guys are upset about the cost of the military. Is that what I'm getting?
Upset
yes.
About? I would say yes.
I'm upset. Yes.
Yeah, I would say yes.
You're upset.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll agree with that statement.
I have to tell you that I take a little bit of offense to it.
Okay, go, sure.
I've been in the military, and the fact that we all speak English and we're all still free, I realize that it's a restricted free, but it's free nevertheless. And unless you people have some other better place you can go and live and be free and pursue the way you want to pursue, then I encourage you to move to that place.
Caller, can I? There's a comparison I see with the military budget, is that the U.S. spends as much on the military as the rest of the world combined.
Roughly.
Do you think that's in line? Is that proportionate to the task we spend?
Well, being the fact that we're the only ones defending freedom, I guess, yes.
Okay, so since we're defending freedom, then the price tag's got to be the right one.
Well, I'm not going to argue whether it's the right price tag or not, but.
Well, that was the whole point.
What do you mean it was the whole point? No, the whole point is.
Dave and I said we thought it was too.
We have to spend money on it, and to be the greatest, we have to spend a lot of money on it. Otherwise, eventually, these other countries which are developing themselves and creating militaries will eventually catch us, pass us, invade us, and then you will be not as free as you may think that you are not.
Okay. Okay.
You're going to lose a lot more freedoms if some other country is running this place, I'm going to assume. Because it's not like, you know, you look at some of these other countries that are developing their militaries, and yes, we're still way more advanced than them, but do you think it's going to really take that long for them to catch up if we quit developing our military?
Well, let me put it to you this way, caller. Let me try and
a little while to catch up. And
sure.
Then once we quit developing and we just say, you know what, we're happy with what we have, it's all good, well, eventually these other countries who don't like us, who truly hate us, will catch up to us, and then they'll surpass us, then they'll invade us, and they'll take
And then they'll teach us some other language.
Excuse me?
And then they'll teach us some other language to finish your
Well, that's just,
train
I mean,
thought.
That was just to be whatever. I mean, that's just to be facetious or whatever, not for real. I mean, they may let us keep our own language, but I'm just saying you're not going to have your freedoms.
All right, well, you know what, caller? You are, because this is America, you are entitled to your opinion.
And, yes, I know that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we can agree.
And we fought for that, right?
One of the things that we can agree makes this country such a great place.
Right, but we fought for that.
Yeah, and we continue to fight for it. But
we fought for it. I mean, we fought for it. We still fight for it.
So you don't think there's any money? I mean, they're cutting all these social programs.
Money all over the place. I mean, people waste money going to the grocery store.
Sure, but the U.S. government, is cutting all these social programs, but they're not cutting the military. You don't think there's any money that we can cut out of the military program?
I don't think socially, I don't think we should depend on the government to take care of us socially ever.
What about the military budget? Other.
We should let the government cut out all the social programs, and we should learn to take care of ourselves and each other, our neighbors.
All right, well, see, I think that is kind of a beautiful thing in a way, because it's a very clear statement that you just made. And I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your views.
Thank you.
Aloha, we got another caller standing by. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Jonathan. I take offense that this last caller took offense.
Okay, go ahead. And because we let that other caller speak his mind, you are also free to speak your mind.
Well, let's start with why we have these wars. They're, you know, predicated on a false flag. You know, you do your homework on that. False flag. Come on, people. Wake up. This guy is so you know, old school. I can't believe this guy even emotes that he's down on what's going on in the world. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's not about right and wrong. It's he has a view and you have a view and you get to expand upon your view.
He's talking about freedom, and you know, we have a Supreme Court that's a fascist Supreme Court that, you know, indefinite detention.
Well, freedom isn't free.
Without due process.
Freedom isn't free, my friend.
A Supreme Court that does due process, you know, so how twisted is that?
We
have a fascist Supreme Court. You call that freedom?
No, I don't call that freedom.
No, this guy calls this freedom. We're living under freedom right now?
Well, that's his view.
Gitmo going on. We're torturing people. We're force feeding them through a tube through their nose just so we can torture them. This is what a democracy stands for.
Well, and then here's the headline in the paper from yesterday. A nonpartisan independent review of interrogation and detention programs in the years after September 11th, 2001, Terrorist Attacks concludes that it is indisputable that the United States engaged in the practice of torture and that the nation's highest officials bore ultimate responsibility for it. That's a pretty straightforward, clear statement, yeah?
We have so many people in different prisons around the world that aren't even recognized by the general public. This is not democracy. This is not freedom. This is, it's almost like we're living under fascist Germany. Show me your papers. You know, I had to get my birth certificate just to renew my license the other day. What the heck? it really smacks of anything I saw about fascist Germany during World War II.
Well, as Pogo said, we've met the enemy and they is us.
That's right. it's up to us to be complicit or to take action.
Well, on the one hand, I can kind of appreciate the previous caller's view in that he wants to believe that we're doing the right thing and that our government should be supported.
Well, what I believe is that guy, that previous caller, is complicit with fascism if he is in the military.
And why would you say that?
He's in the military. Fascism. We're living under a fascist state right now. I'm telling you, we are. The woman that called that we're slowly going towards fascism, we're fascist right now. Corporations are running this country. That's fascism.
Yeah, well, that's the definition of fascism, according to Benito Mussolini, who I think people agree knew a thing or two about fascism.
Yeah.
If you go to the pre-1939 definition of fascism, it says that the corporations are taking precedent over the people.
Sure, it's the merger of the state and corporate power.
Yeah.
Do you see that increasing, decreasing?
It's increasing to a unsustainable limit. You know, it's going to a point where it's going to implode. It has to implode. When the dollar, you know, collapses, and it will, the way they print it up like it actually has something to back it.
Like it's a new kind of wallpaper or something.
Yeah. So when that dollar collapses, they can't pay the soldiers. The war is stopped. The whole war machine that Eisenhower warned us about, I think, in 1952. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. None of this that's going on right now is sustainable.
Yeah, it seems like it's got some problems.
Yeah, because the corporations are running everything.
Mm. But, I think if we're going to hold our breath and wait for capitalism to fail it's still going to take a lot longer than people might want because...
Well, who said anything about holding our breath? I mean, we can go out on the streets and demonstrate. We can hold our signs like we did for the GMO demonstrations. It's a matter of the people, you know, understanding what's going on and what's happening to them.
Well, what I was going to try and explain is it seems like capitalism has a perverse kind of tenacious quality. It's not, it may be a house of cards, but I think they use some kind of crazy glue to build it or something because it's not, you know, the winds blow and the thing teeters and it tips, but it doesn't fall over for some mysterious reason.
Well, people don't know.
Capitalism is an engine that runs on greed.
But all, we don't know anything different from capitalism. There's very little models for us to point to say, okay, here's this works better than capitalism, for example.
Well, it works better. I mean, cancer cells grow faster than the rest of your body, so does that mean they work better?
Well, I think things have to get worse before things get better in order to get people's attention.
Hmm. Well, we've got another caller standing by. Do you want to wrap up?
I can relinquish. You guys have a great day, and you're doing a great job. Oh. I really appreciate the show.
Well, thank you, caller. Appreciate that.
Aloha.
Aloha. And thank you for standing by, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Great show.
Well, thank you
for all the work you guys do. Sorry you didn't get into the board there, Jonathan. I was a little sad about that. That was a sad day.
Well, I hope I got your vote at least.
Well, you did, definitely.
Well, thanks.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to sound out about technology, as I would call it. You know, there is great technology out there that's being suppressed by companies that own it, that they have lesser technologies that they want to release first so they can make the coin off of that one before you get this next better one, you know? And that's kind of been the capitalist kind of tricknology that they led on for a long time. And they've been running that route for a long time. Like, there's cars that get just regular old
single-engine cars
with carburetors on them that can get way better gas mileage than anything's even going on now. But they got this other little new technology, this hybrid thing that they release, and then they come out and they cost a lot of coin and the rich people get them, and then really it doesn't get that much better gas mileage.
Yeah, just slightly incrementally better.
Yeah, and you know, like, I know this one cat, this one bro who's like a super genius, right? And he works for a company in Boulder, and he is working on, like, solar stuff, right? And, like, he gets these things, like, 10 years ago he developed this thing that his company owns, and it's not been out yet. But they have stuff like that you paint on a roof. You just paint it over your shingles, over top of your shingles. You hook a little electrode up to it, blink, and it's sucking energy off the sunshine that's coming down, and it's just a little paint-on thing. It's no big, huge, you know, panels that you have to set up. You can paint it on. And these guys have prototypes of houses that are heated. This is in Colorado. Heated and air-conditioned off this technology. And it's just that easy. You paint it on, hook up the electrodes, and you got your little batteries that catch it. And they're doing everything, heating and cooling the houses, okay, these buildings. And it's, you know, it really is, like you guys said, there's no other model. So everybody's just like, oh, capitalism is the greatest. We don't want communism. Whoa. Like, there's only two things. It's like there's only Democrats and Republicans. It's like,
oh, Democrats. We don't want Democrats. We want Republicans. Whoa.
Yeah, and they're so different. I call them Democrats and Reaper Ugagans. Because it's like
Reaper Ugagans. Like, that's quite a manglement.
They're the same guys, same mentality as the Pharaoh that was holding Moses way back when. You know, because the Pharaoh was the guy who had all the coin, right? He had all the gold. He was the head dude. He didn't relinquish his control back then. Come on, he let Moses go, and tweaked right into the thing and was the scribes and Pharisees. And then that guy they called Jesus, whose actual name was Yahshua, he actually turned the table. He's a radical fighting against the system that's
not really
helping us. It wasn't helping us back then.
I like that Yahshua guy.
It wasn't helping us when that guy Yahushua turned the tables on the scribes and Pharisees. And it's not helping us now. It really isn't. This guy who, you know, yeah, he's a ex-soldier, and, you know, I commend him for going to battle, but for what battle? Like, who was making money off World War II? It was all a big money maker to make us in control. And, you know, the Russians, they, like, saw it, and they were like, oh, shoots, we got to do this, too. And so they were fighting against us, and it was this big war against the Russians and all that, you know.
You're talking the Cold War now.
They just kept their cogs going, just like we were keeping our cogs going. It's like this big money machine, and everybody gets paid down the line as long as you just keep going along with the program. We can keep the thing going as long as you go along with the program. Well, we need to stop the program.
All right. Well, on that note, caller, we've got another caller standing by, and I want to ask you to make a kind of a closing comment. Because you got an excellent stream of consciousness that you've been riding, like kind of like almost surfing freestyle, but with words.
Well, we really need to come together as a community. Kauai could stand on its own. We don't need any outside anything. War is obsolete. Anybody who thinks we need war anymore, they're nuts. They're crazy. Because we can reason it out. The people can. These crazy warmongers don't believe that, and so they just think they need to keep the cogs turning and keep that oil greasing them cogs. And we just got to stop it. We got to wise up and rise up. Love you guys. Aloha.
All right. Thank you, caller. Appreciate that a lot. And thanks for those wise words.
War is obsolete.
I like rise up and wise up. That's a good one. Plus it rhymes.
John Harder.
Hello?
Right, I'll call you right back. Hey, you got me.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air and on the phone at the same time.
On the air and on the phone. I was just talking with my Earth Day collaborator.
Oh, good.
This is Jimmy Trujillo here at the Kauai Community College, putting in a couple of extra minutes on the clock, if you will. Celebrating Earth Day on Monday, the 22nd. I want to involve listeners if they're so inclined to come join us.
Jimmy, the microphone is yours. Have at it. Tell us all about Earth Day at KCC.
Well, thanks. It's going to be celebrated on Monday the 22nd. There's a couple of other Earth Day celebrations going on this weekend, but KCC's one will be starting at 11 and finishing up at 8 o'clock that evening. We're kind of extending it out, but it's going to be mainly
a long day
underneath the tent for community booths. Folks like the Sierra Club and the Surf Rider will be present, as well as our own Kauai Community Radio. The Kauai Beekeepers Association as well will be represented, along with we're going to have an electrical vehicle from Kuhio Motors for a test drive.
Oh, boy.
So if anybody wants to come out and test an electric vehicle from Kuhio Motors, that'll be on the docket.
Well, you know, this is how you can tell you've really arrived, because when Earth Day is no longer just a celebration of what a wonderful planet we have, but an opportunity to sell cars. That's right. Sell cars.
Sell cars.
Then you know we're finally getting some traction with this Earth Day thing.
So solutions of a sustainable nature.
Ooh, I like that.
So if we choose to drive vehicles, wouldn't it be good to drive a vehicle that kind of might even be able to just tap into a solar source and not need to have a hose with petrol flowing through it?
Sure.
Yeah. I think vehicle lovers would probably agree with that. You know, we're ending the evening with a movie with Zero Waste Kauai and Apollo Kauai hosting a movie called Do the Math. And I haven't done my homework with Do the Math,
so you don't know
about climate change. It's sponsored. It's premiering this weekend. The 350.org group. I think Bill McKibben's.
Yeah, he's that guy who's so concerned about the CO2 levels in our atmosphere.
He's very concerned about that, and mobilizing a lot of folks to do things about it. So that's capping it off. Right before that, at 5 o'clock, there's going to be a community forum, a public discussion involving Well, I haven't got the lineup totally solid yet, but I do
it's
know...
It's fluid. It's a work in progress.
On confirmation, I have approached a number of different folks, but those who have confirmed, we will have representatives from Ohana Kauai, or is it... Ohana O Kauai, Fern...
Fern Anuai
Nui. Her last name. I'm unprepared to...
It's Fern Anuai Nui.
Joining Fern will be... Joan Conroe, who will be speaking on behalf of the Kauai Beekeepers Association and other beekeepers.
I didn't know that Joan Conroe was a beekeeper.
She is a beekeeper.
Well, she's busy.
She is a busy bee. And doing good work.
Joan.
And Felicia Cowden will be the facilitator, moderator.
But she's not a beekeeper, is she?
Keep a flow of the conversation and a tone that's going to lead us towards, I hope, some solutions, because that's kind of what sustainability is about in my mind, you know, finding solutions to some of these challenges. And as a beekeeper, this is why we're invested in this. You know, we're concerned about the amount of pesticides being used, as well as many other people. So I'm making an attempt to bring in a variety of different, if you will, sources that have applications or, you know, have experience with pesticides directly or indirectly. I've invited Senator Gary Hoosier, or rather Councilman Gary Hoosier, to join us because the title of the forum is Pollinators, Pesticides, and Public Policy. So we're looking at trying to get good information about pesticide use and the concerns that community has regarding them.
It also sounds
also
like
Jerry Ornelas will be joining us. Jerry is an often guest on the Kauai Community Radio.
I think he called in earlier this afternoon.
He's participated in a number of Earth Day events at KCC as well. So he'll be back in action. I just got off the phone with Scott McFarland, who represents a number of clients and one of the hats he wears is representing a large seed company, I'm not quite sure, on the west side, and he knows the law very well, so he is entertaining the thought of joining this community conversation. I did have a conversation with Cindy Goldstein from, I believe, Pioneer, and she respectfully declined the offer to sit at a round table discussion with the unknown if you will, a crowd, what was going to happen, and she didn't want to get chased out of the room like she did elsewhere. So, you know, I told him that's not the point of the discussion, that's not the point of the forum, is to, you know, put, as Jerry Arnell said, paint a bullseye on him. That's certainly not our intention. It is to get a better understanding of how these inputs, these chemicals, are being used and how they can have some long-term detrimental impacts. And I think, you know, we're all concerned about those, well, long-term repercussions of that type of farming and weed control or
chemical farming.
Yeah. So on the downside of that, I guess, or rather shouldn't say downside of that, right before that, from 3 to 4, Kohololeo is doing a presentation discussion about whales here in Hawaii and around the globe, and our special cetaceous friends. So Kalasara Viskova is going to be leading that discussion. We're going to have live music throughout the day. Laura Kelly from the Department of Solid Waste, the County of Kauai Solid Waste Recycling Specialist, she's going to be doing a composting workshop. If you're interested in getting one of those Darth Vader black helmeted kind of composting earth machines.
So let me ask you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
This sounds like it's a tremendous, fun-filled, educational opportunity day.
All day long.
All day long. And this is Monday, yeah?
The 22nd.
Monday the 22nd at KCC.
Rain or shine. It's a rain or shine event. Earth Day is all day, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's very impressive what you've been part of pulling together here.
Well, it takes a village. We've got a lot of good folks who are pulling through and supporting this kind of activities. I mean, couldn't thank the 25... public or community groups that are going to be underneath the big tent and the 3 or 4 other vendors that are going to show up. If you're a vendor, you have a green service or a green product that you'd like to showcase or sell, you know, you are welcome to give us a call. You can give me a call personally, 346-7725, or email me at jtrujill@hawaii.edu. We're going to post this up on the Ho'oluwehi blogspot.com website. They could probably also go to the KCC website, which is kauai.hawaii.edu.
Okay,
so that's Monday. We're going to open up at 11 o'clock with the Hawaiian Studies Group, and Kumupua Rossi and her father will be leading us off in an opening ceremony.
Like a pule?
Pule.
Fantastic.
And then open mic with some students from 12 to 1. So, yeah, Jonathan, you're right. I hope to see you down here. It's a big, long day. It's a good, fun day. We'll have food for sale and, good information and hopefully good entertainment as well. The movies, the forums, the workshops, it's something for everyone, we hope.
Well, it sounds like you're pouring a lot of good energy into it, Jimmy. So thanks for calling in and give us the 411.
No worries, and look forward to sitting in the booth with you next week there, Jonathan, and our fun drive and kind of ramp it up for, the next round of fun money for us to keep our beautiful station afloat.
All right, well, thank you, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, guys. Have a great show.
All right, hey, aloha.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Are there going to be lots of cute girls and guys there to me at the Earth Day?
I'll bet you there'll be a lot of young, scrubbed minds there, just happy to find out more about the world.
We don't want to over-procreate, though, with this delicate balance, that's going on.
Be safe.
We got to remind ourselves about birth control and not having too many children when we celebrate Earth Day.
Well, it's about practicing those practices, too.
Yeah, conservation. I just want to mention one thing about I don't know if it's been mentioned on the show today. You guys covered it pretty good last week. Is how they want to burn those trees. They want to take that Hawaiian land over in Anahola. And put that big lease, 20-year lease, with the option for another 20-year lease.
Yeah, I think they're reevaluating.
Yeah, they are reevaluating. I got a letter in the mail from DHHL and the folks who were trying to put that project together, and they said that because at the public meetings they had, the people were so uniformly against it, that they had to come up with a plan B.
Well, that's good, because that's just outrageous. I mean, for those Hawaiian families that have been waiting, like, decades for a little piece of the rock.
Well, I learned a new word when I went to that meeting. It's called waitlisters. Waitlisters.
Yeah, right.
These are people who've been on the waitlist for decade after decade after decade.
Yeah, right.
Who still don't have a Hawaiian home. They still don't have any Hawaiian land in their Hawaiian hands.
Well, look, as far as, all the issues that you bring up, the one that I feel about most deeply is the American torturing people around the world. And you just can't believe how outrageous it is. We're the home of the free, land of the brave, and we just torture the ever living out of people. I mean, it's just outrageous, But anyways, have a great day. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. And you have also this. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I did want to start talking a little bit about the Boston situation here. Where the show's winding down here. We've been saying we got to get to that.
Well, all right. Let's get to that. I heard Obama say on the reports that any time a bomb is used against an unarmed civilian population, that's terrorism. And so then I got this report here from the anti-drone campaign. Says President Obama is not the king. He should not have the right to be the judge, jury, and executioner. In terms of the drone campaign, he's killing people when he decides, where he decides, and he's doing it in places where we have not declared war legally. This is wrong. We need to stop that. And that's the point of their messages for the anti-drone people. So my question is, how is it different if a Pakistani family gets blown up by a drone from somebody who dropped off some bombs in Boston?
Right, yeah. Well, it was a terrible event, a terrible disaster.
They're both terrible.
Three people died. Terrible.
That's bad.
What, another 120 or so?
Maybe more, maybe 150, 170.
Right.
So some severed limbs. One or two bombs, you can be having a great day. One or two bombs go off in the middle of your nice day. Pretty soon your day isn't so nice anymore.
Right. But it's been covered pretty extensively on the news and the media and all. But every time I see these reports, they're I get a little skeptical. There's all kinds of, you know, little hints here or there that something else is going on besides like a terrorist attack. You know, for example, it was a drill going on at the time. You know, they had a huge military presence. There were bomb sniffing dogs. There were police everywhere. There were snipers up on the rooftops.
That's the price of freedom, Dave.
There were huge
price of freedom
military presence, and also private paramilitary security firms were there.
That's the privatization of the price of presence.
That's right, yeah.
Of freedom.
Which doubles the price of freedom there.
Yeah.
And so they were having a drill at the time. They were telling people, don't, you know, people were saying, hey, how come there's so much military here? What's the, well, with all these security people here? Oh, don't worry about it. They're, you know, it's just a drill. We're pretending, you know, bombing is going on. And then 5 minutes later, bomb goes off, you know. And then they said, they announced that there was going to be a test bomb or something going off near the JFK library, which was on the route, about a mile from where the other ones went off. And, you know, so there was a drill going on about bombing at the Boston Marathon. At the time, there was bombing at the Boston Marathon. The same thing happened.
History folding onto itself.
The same thing with 9/11. There was a drill about planes crashing into the World Trade Center. At the time, planes were crashing into the World
Trade Center.
Nobody
could have envisioned that planes could have been flown into buildings, Dave. I heard that said several times.
By somebody who was at the meeting by that same name?
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza, yeah.
Right.
I heard her say that.
Right.
Dave.
There was these huge presence of these SEALs or these guys in the camo gear and these big black backpacks that looked identical to the backpacks that the bombs were in, you know, the bags that the bombs were in, supposedly. It was just all this really strange.
What do you make of all that? What's the bottom line?
I have no idea, but I don't trust the government and the media to tell me exactly what's happening here.
Okay.
You know, if you look at the last 10 terrorists, U.S. terrorists that were
like the underwear bomber. The oh my gosh, I've got some sports socks.
Or
bomber.
They'll get somebody who's says they're going to bomb some building in Chicago or whatever. And it turns out that there was an FBI operation to try and talk people into carrying these bombs, and they carry them, and then they arrest them. You know, and they say this is a terrorist here, a terrorist attack, and,
Dave,
and we've foiled it here.
That's
we've
how they keep it. America safe, Dave.
And they have created the terrorist. That guy didn't have a bomb to begin with. They gave him the bomb. You know,
they facilitated
and then they arrested him.
Yeah, and so that's how they keep America safe. Okay. Don't you get it, Dave?
So
don't you get it?
Evidently not. It all's kind of backwards or inside out to me. I don't know. And then now they're combing all of the film,
the videotape from the cameras
for Middle Eastern looking people. You know, and saying, oh, here's a potential terrorist suspect, you know, and we got to find this guy, you know, and it turns out it's some, you know, kid in high school or a cross-country teacher.
One of the three people who unfortunately was killed in this event was a Chinese exchange student. So maybe it's somebody, maybe it's the Japanese people who are upset at the Chinese people. I mean, you could make something up.
Oh, yeah.
In 10 seconds, you could make something up.
Nobody has claimed responsibility for the attacks or anything like that.
So let's.
And you would think with all the security along the route that nobody could have gotten away with this.
Well, let's be clear. We don't know what happened yet. You want to take that call?
Yeah, let's take the call then.
All right, caller. Thanks for standing by. You're on the air.
Oh, my gosh. Taken me like an hour.
Well, now you're on, so you can.
The
microphone is yours.
So I can just verbalize?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, my very first statement is God bless you folks for giving us a place to talk. Because, and I can't call CNN or anybody like that. We can sit here and talk and have very diverse thoughts, / and hopefully agreements.
Maybe sometimes we have people who've called in from different sides
earlier,
of the map.
He was in the military, and,
sure.
And it's been a half an hour. I tried to call in. You guys are talking about something else because I was told to turn my radio off. But anyways, back to this thing. Don't even get me going. It's all a scam to take our. We all know that.
For attacking our civil liberties.
Well, of course.
Now, do you see that in the Boston bombing?
It's so simple. It's so logical. Excuse me.
Are you talking about the Boston bombing? The Boston Marathon?
Come on, think about it.
Well, I just said my opinion.
Now they're going to take this way and that way, and 9/11 was a whole scam. I don't even want to go there.
Please don't get me started. We don't have enough time. But anyways, I just called to really, truly say thanks for being able to get on the radio and say something.
Well, that's one of the main points for this show, one of our main reasons.
I know, it's
reasons.
Exactly the main point.
Yeah.
It better be the main point. And then that guy was in the military. I wanted to tell that guy, you know what, bro? Been around the world and stuff. I was in Milano, Italy in 94, and I got off the plane, and they're carrying automatic weapons.
Sure, machine guns.
Rallies, but it's a different pronunciation, excuse me. But, yeah, there's all the police there had, whatever, automatic weapons. I don't know if they're AK-47s.
Some kind of machine gun.
I'm not familiar with that.
They look pretty fierce, huh?
No, it was, I'm going, this is Milano, Italy in 94. I'm going, okay, what's up here? Okay, I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's just it was kind of spooky. And now look at the divided states of America. Every airport you go, there's stuff going on. There is a controlling group that's just trying to control us. And you know what?
What do you think?
The only thing we have is our hearts and souls.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think is the solution to that? How do you confront that without getting into a fight with somebody?
You know what, brother? I'm 6'4". I've never been in a fight in my life. Probably because I'm 6'4". But, you know what? I've worked out so many fights. Hey, bro, can I buy you a beer or whatever?
Yeah.
You work it out in a positive way, not a confrontational negative way.
Fights are obsolete.
Pardon me, I'm obsolete?
Fighting, obsolete.
My how I feel and what I say is obsolete?
No. He's saying that needless confrontation is obsolete.
Aggressive behavior is obsolete. We had a caller earlier, just a couple minutes ago, said war is obsolete. I was expanding that to this violent behavior.
Oh, my gosh. I turned my phone on or turned my radio off for the last 30 minutes, so I haven't heard any of this. Back to a point we talked about earlier, though, guys. It was Reagan and, what's his name? Gorbachev. Tear this wall down. That was an hour and a half ago that we had this conversation. But anyway, that's kind of a positive point.
All right. Great.
I'll end it on that.
Okay.
All right, well,
thanks for calling.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate
thanks
that.
For the forum.
Sure, you got it. That's what we're here for.
Aloha.
And thank you for standing by, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha one more time. I'm a two-timer this time. I'm going to make it short this time. And they wag the dog really well.
Wag the tail, I think it's called.
Well, there's a movie called Wag the Dog, and
yeah.
It was all
the
about...
The tail is wagging the dog.
The tail is wagging the dog. I get it.
Yeah. They do that really well. That was my kind of only point about the propaganda machine and all that. And I just wanted to say that there is another Earth Day event that's happening on 420 at WIPA. And I'm going to encourage people to go to that.
And
what
can you tell us about that, caller?
You know, I don't know facts about it. I know it's...
Is this the music festival?
Malama Kauai is involved.
I know they were going to have a music festival last week, and it got rained out. So is this the rescheduling of that?
No, this was always a scheduled event on 420. I know Keone and Malama Kauai has something to do with it. There is going to be music. Burning Bush is playing at 4, so we will be playing through 4:20. The Burning Bush band will be.
Are you in Burning Bush?
I do on outdoor shows. I come and we have like a little Nyabingi set up with some hand drummers, the traditional drums of the Rastafari movement. Is called Nyabingi drums, and I have a whole set of them. So me and a couple other brethren come and play drums, and I do sing a little bit with them as well. I don't go to all the shows that they do. I just sort of come to these nice outdoor events. And
I don't go to the bar room with them so much, but we will be playing at 420, on 420, and so I'm encouraging people to come down there. I believe that it's even a camp out Friday night, and they're, like, going to be cleaning up WIPA. They're going to be doing some little, you know, little tasks around the area to, you know, just enhance that place that we have, one of the only places in Hawaii that's Avapua'a, that is completely held by foundations that are Hawaiian, you know, there in Limahuli.
Sure.
So it's a great pleasure to have any event down there, certainly. And so I just wanted to tell people about that. Have,
okay.
You know, awareness. Thank you, Bruce. Right. Aloha.
All right, great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for standing by, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Loud and clear.
I hear a dial tone. That's not you.
We'll fix that in a second here.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Just bear with us. How about now?
Perfect.
There we go.
Hey, I just wanted to put this idea out there, especially for people who tend to be side takers. You know, like, it's all America's fault, it's all the Muslims' fault, it's all whatever the other
side. Seems
like
there's enough blame to go around, huh?
Well, I want to put this idea out there that kind of ties in a lot of what you've been talking about, because I think you're right. I've heard in a lot of psychological literature where they quantify this number. They say 3-4% of the people of the planet are psychopaths. And that just
generally speaking?
Yeah, and that just basically means no empathy at all.
Okay.
Just inability to feel anything of what another human being feels, and possibly the inability to even feel what your own emotions feel.
Okay.
So, too much too, what I'm saying and putting out there is, of that 3%, probably 0.3%, maybe less, is who's responsible for this. And what they're doing, the way I've been seeing things for a long time, is they're orchestrating the rest of the 3%. So whether it's fundamentalist right-wingers or fundamentalist Muslims or fundamentalist New Agers, whatever it is, whoever is in this psychopath category, the 0.3% of that category, which to me is the forces that be, the people, a couple of hundred families that have been, you know, for 2,000 years.
This would be like the 1% of the psychopaths.
Oh, even less probably.
Okay.
We're talking about who knows what that number is, but we're talking about 200-300 families that have for 2,000 years been running the planet. So that's what's really going on. And I think, you know, when people say, you know, the United States is doing this and that, and somebody else, you know, we're terrorizing the world, it's true, but it's not the United States or even the U.S. government. It's this very small amount of people who are orchestrating this on every continent in the world, the South America, North America, Africa, China, India, it doesn't matter. No country is immune to this manipulation. They're all playing part of this game. And as long as people are, you know, are taking this strong view, it's all the United States' fault, we've been imperialists forever, it's all this, it's all that, in some sense, they're right, because the facts back them up. It's true. We have a history of this, as do all these other countries. Black people are still selling slaves in Africa. They're still selling their own people as slaves, okay? So there is no country immune to this. And it's very, very difficult for people to not take a position, whether it be on abortion or gay marriage.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that we are so quick to polarize?
Because unlike what this person said a few phone calls ago where he said war is obsolete, I would say this. War is only obsolete if people have evolved enough to make it obsolete. And there is only a very small percentage of the people on this planet that have done that. And that's because we're living in dualism. We're living in a body that dies with no understanding of what happens after you die. And the vast majority of people are living that consciousness. I mean, a lot of people have a basic level of integrity where they're not going to stab their mother to death or steal or lie every day.
Well, if she doesn't look at you the right way.
Yeah, you know, most people are living like that. But as far as high integrity to get beyond the level of dualism that allows for, like, taking sides and choosing right and wrong on everything, very few people can do that. Very few. People talk the talk, but to walk the walk, you know, to be like Mother Teresa and to...
Oh.
Did we lose him?
I guess so.
It wasn't me. I didn't touch
it. I didn't do it. Oh, wait.
He's got having a little technical difficulty.
The force is trying to thwart you right now.
Oh, have you missed it, like, the last 90% of what I said?
No, maybe like the last 20 seconds.
20 seconds. But if you could wrap it up real quickly, we got to go to one more call, and then it's the end of the show. So.
Okay, well, that's, you know, a small percentage of the people are, you know, if, answering your question, are evolved enough to live out of this level of duality of choosing sides. That's the answer to your question. So.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you, caller. Appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us.
Aloha, folks.
Aloha. And we got time for one last call.
Yeah, unfortunately, got the short end of the stick, caller. You got 30 seconds. Can you make your point in that time?
Oh, yes, I'd like to.
Oh, go for
it. Thank you very much. I am part Hawaiian. I am French. I'm English. I'm Japanese. I'm Spanish. I'm Filipino. And I've been born and raised here, and most of my ancestors came from different places and married Hawaiians. On the topic of the Department of Defense, I have been involved with a lot of you know, information that was provided to Native Hawaiians regarding the Section 106. So if people think that, you know, Native Hawaiians don't know what's happening on a military basis, Hawaiians are actually informed clearly with the Department of Defense and their upgrading of their bases here on Kauai, here on Oahu, Kaneohe, everywhere. I've been involved in the process. Another point that I'd like to share is the marine spatial planning. I'm also a member of the Ahamoku, which was in legislation. And, John, you know that.
Sure.
You came out with those nice maps with Juan. And, you know, all it is to me, it's human attitude. And I went to a conference where different people from the archipelago, there has been some very, very, very hard, you know, health issues. Like, you know, people that are moving here, the Micronesians, you know, even their reproductive systems. And, you know, in all, I just wanted to say that don't think that Native Hawaiians don't know what's going on in America. And, you know, please focus on where you're at. You know, it's like a small canoe.
Sure.
What is the carrying capacity? And that's just what I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling then.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Maybe next show, call a little earlier. We can spend more time on that. Aloha. Okay, well, that's all the time we have for the show. Thank you for all the calls. Had a lot of people calling in today.
Yeah, lots of calls. That's good. A good sign of health and vigor.
Yeah. And
you want to encourage people who've never called in before or who don't call in very much to call in. It's great we have regular listeners, but it's also good to make sure we keep the phone lines open so the people who've never called in before can call in.
And also people who feel that their opinions or their voice is not heard on the air here. We obviously have our own opinions, and a lot of our callers have similar viewpoints, but if you're not within that group, feel free to call in. We'll be gracious and help you to get your message out. Okay, well, thanks for this show, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, and, aloha, ahui ho, and malama pono.
Stay tuned next. Marin is here for a great rendition of Acoustic Luau, so stay tuned. Aloha.
Aloha.